The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
He is showing us how to be the hands and feet of His church on this earth to make a difference. We need to realize that the church is not just here in Ashland. It's not just here in Northern Virginia. It's not just here in Western civilization. There are actually more Christians outside of the United States than here in the United States. And statistics show that now more countries are sending missionaries to U.S. than U.S. is sending out. And it's staggering to think about how the faith is growing so strong in other areas and much of it under persecution. Today you're going to hear a personal story of someone that God has led to be a part of our church family. Awesome is going to come and share the story that God is writing on his heart and his life. And we're also going to have our own eyes open to what's going on in areas of the world such as Pakistan and India and other places. I want to basically, before we get into that, lay some foundations that I laid a couple weeks ago. First of all, as a church, our mission is to fulfill God's mission. God didn't say, John, plant a church and come up with some great strategy and plan. God birthed in the hearts of us to be on mission with what he is doing. How many of you ever did that study by Henry Blackaby called Experiencing God? Raise your hand. Okay, about half of you, or maybe five of you. Okay. One of the key points is there is that God is always at work, and he invites us to join him in what he is doing. And so that's what we are called to do. God is a loving God. 1 John tells us that God is love. And to really know true love, we have to find that in the one and only true God. And that true and loving God loves even when it hurts. He loves unconditionally. He loves so much that he sent his own son to this earth because we were a fallen and broken people. We were a people born with sin in our lives. Nobody has to teach you how to mess up. Nobody has to teach you how to punch your brother or sister in the face. It comes naturally to most of us. Now, Stella will tell you that I did go to see her to take lessons on how to punch better. But greed and fighting and all of that, it's just in us. It's in our sin nature, the scriptures say. But Christ demonstrated his love for us. And while we were sinners, while we were apart from him, Christ left heaven. And he lived on earth for 33 years out of love for us. And the scriptures tell us that if you were the only person on the earth, if you were the only lost sheep, he still would have come just for you. And he gave up his life for our place. He came to his own, the book of John says, and his own rejected him. But the scriptures say to those who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gives them the right to become the children of God. We've celebrated with four individuals here who have decided to put their faith and trust in God. And they've become children of God. And this room is full. Well over 100 of you have come to know Christ through the ministry of Hope Hill Church. And I celebrate and rejoice in knowing that we got to be a part of that journey with you. But there is persecution that comes. Many of us in our Western society, our Western culture, don't realize this. Last week that Daddy L spoke? Yeah. He demonstrated for us that if you look back to the earliest of history, the oldest book in the Bible, the book of Job. Job, a man after God's own heart, a man who was righteous in all his ways, when even pushed to the brink of disaster, he never turned his heart on God. Jesus, when he was on earth, he was rejected, he was despised. And he said to those who were following him, his closest friends, his disciples, he said, if I, the master, am going to suffer, then you, the follower, must also be willing to suffer. He said, if they persecuted me, they will definitely persecute you. And so in our society, in our culture, we have attributed many times God as a source of blessing. We've attributed God as a source of resource. Well, if I just get my life right, my bills will get paid. If I give my heart right to God, maybe my marriage will be healed. If I follow God enough, if I appease God enough, then I will get what I need. But there are people around the world who are completely in love with Jesus because they have come to know that this life is not about us and our fulfillment and our success. This life is about glorifying God in everything we do. This life is about sharing the love of Christ with those who would even be willing to kill us if we opened our mouth. And there are people in this world even today. It's not just a historical thing. There are people in this world today who choose to risk their life on a daily basis because the love that they have for Christ and what he did for us and their knowledge of Christ's love for those in this world compels them to even have to suffer to share this love with others. My hope is that through this series, you will be changed as I have been changed. Sure, we're not going to be able to raise enough money to make everything better. But we can do what's most important. The scriptures challenge us to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who suffer. And that is the most important thing we can do. And my hope is that you will become a changed person. You would not see Jesus as a path to success, fulfillment, prosperity, and happiness, but instead he will be a path towards true joy, true love, even when it hurts. I want you to hear some stories and see some things today that will drive this home and hopefully inspire us to live changed lives, that will live lives willing to give everything for a God who gave everything for us. Will you take a look at this story from a pastor in India? Persecution, it's a real thing. It is happening all around the world, and we need to take up our responsibility as true brothers and sisters of those who are like this pastor. And we need to be lifting them up in prayer, and we need to be asking God, how can we come to their need? How can we lift them up and support them? And so I hope and pray that you will take this to heart. We have resources in the back that we are passing out this month that are prayer cards that will serve as reminders. We have the keychains we're passing out that you can put on your keychain, that something that you'd probably have all the time with you. And let us remember to pray often. More than that, let's ask God to examine our hearts and to show us, God, what is it that we can learn from the things that are happening in this world? How can this become real in our life? How can it transform us? If you go back to the book of Genesis, and we don't have time to study the story today in depth, but there's a story about a boy named Joseph who as a young teenager was sold off into slavery by his brothers. And he was sold off into slavery from where the nation of Israel is and taken down into Egypt. And while in Egypt, he became a slave and he was mistreated even though he did nothing wrong. And actually, he lived a very honorable life. He was a follower and a believer of God and made decisions and choices that would honor God. And still, it was like a downward spiral, being beat up and put in a hole, sold into slavery, while in slavery, being accused of doing something he didn't do and attempting to rape a woman, being put in prison. And the story just went down and down and down. And you can look at this at the story and say at any time, Joseph could have easily said, what is this persecution all about? Why am I having to suffer for you, God? My life just keeps getting worse. But God had a purpose and a plan for Joseph. God had a purpose and a plan for Joseph's persecution. And that can be hard for us to stomach and be hard for us to understand. But God brought Joseph through all of that. And as the story unfolds, if you read the rest of the story of Joseph, Joseph, because he is such a man of honor, he earns the Pharaoh's trust, and he becomes chief of most of Egypt. And he ends up being put in one of the highest positions of authority. And because of Joseph, the nation of Egypt is what it is today. He led them through a time of famine, and he even was able to provide food for the Israelites who came down into the land of Egypt. And all of this happened as God was with Joseph through the time of suffering, through the time of persecution, preparing him for a greater plan. Persecution happens. We don't always know the answers as to why. But God says that he works all things together for good for those who are called by his purpose. Today I want to introduce you to a good friend of many of ours. A lot of you have gotten to know Awesome. I've invited him to come and share his story. Awesome is here on status as asylum. Is that the right way to say it? Basically, religious persecution forced him to leave Pakistan. And I have invited him and Margaret to come and share a little bit with us their story. So come on up, Awesome, Margaret. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being willing to share your story with us. And my hope and prayer is that, again, God's Holy Spirit would just continue to speak to your hearts through the message that's being shared today. So take it from here.
Wonderful. Well, before we get started, I do want to just put another plug in for these handmade in Pakistan giveaways. Make sure you get it when you leave. Put it on your keychain, put it in your car or at your office. Just remember to pray for the persecuted church. Okay? I've gotten to know Awesome and Maria over the last couple months, and I'm so excited for you guys to hear what he has to say. So could you first introduce yourself, please?
I'm Awesome Albert. And my wife, Maria, is at the back there. Maria, do you want to raise your hand? She's holding my youngest kid, Liam, and Ethan, and Tanisha's the eldest. We come from Pakistan. I've lived in Pakistan all my life, except for the last 1 year, when I arrived in US in March. Maria and I both grew up in Pakistan. Pakistan is a Muslim country with only 1% Christians. I come from a Christian family, a third generation Christian, one of the few and far between in Pakistan. And Maria, her family was a Muslim, and at the age of 16, she accepted Christ because of her father and how God provided and changed the life of the family. And we got married. My parents found Maria, and Maria's mother found me. And that's how we came together. And I would say a match made in heaven. It couldn't be better than that. And how God's just taken us on a journey. From day one, I would say we're alive and well because of God's providence.
All right, can you describe the situation of Christians in Pakistan?
Okay, as I said, there's only 1% Christians, and that includes all sorts of denominations. But across all denominations, one thing's very core to the heart of all Christians is to die as a Christian, never to give up your faith, no matter what happens. All the Christians there in Pakistan, most of them are uneducated because they are not allowed to access to good education. And those who do get good education, it's very expensive. And the main thing is everybody will try and put you down. And you've got to rise above all that. And God's there to help you. Christians are not allowed to get good jobs. The best job for any Christian in Pakistan is to clean, to sweep, and to clean sewers. And that's the best they're allowed to do. And again, very few will ever make it to even a manager position.
Okay, we're going to hear two stories of times that Awesome was persecuted for his faith. Could you share the story about when you were in school?
Sure. My story goes, it's pretty long, but we just picked up the few which would, I would say, help us to understand what goes on, what went on in my life as a young person, and how God, through all that, has helped me grow through in my faith, helped me to understand his love. And as we've seen, love costs everything. And I was thinking, it does cost everything, but it is an investment that yields much more than we even think of, much more than we can imagine. It's not like our financial investment, which we can calculate. It's beyond our imagination. It's from God. I accepted Christ at the age of 14. And before that, I was involved with really good friends of mine, Muslims, where we went out fighting. We hung out with girls. We were in sort of drugs. We liked our lives and just had the had a had a good party time all the time. When I accepted Christ, that was one of the few things, one of many things that God just said, you know, get rid of your abusive language, get rid of fighting, get rid of pornography, get rid of hanging out with friends that will lead you astray, stop telling lies, get your life together. This is God. I've lived 14 years like that. How is this possible? And he says, my spirit is enough. If you've accepted and turn and ready to turn your life around, then this is the thing you've got to do. And one of the first steps I took was stop meeting my friends, spend less time with them, because I knew that that's where I got my fix, or you could just had a good time with them and got involved in all of that stuff. And I started turning away, started spending less time. And I remember one time in school, we were all sitting together, and there was six of them, and one of them just turned around and said, Asim, how come you're not spending time with us? You don't spend nights, you don't come around after school. What's going on? You seem to become indifferent to us. I just kept quiet and says, I don't know. Just something in me just said, you know, just stay quiet, just don't say anything. Which is weird. I like talking. And God just said, no, you're not going to talk. Another one said, you know, I've seen Christians behave like that. Are you one of them? I still stayed quiet. Another one said, Asim is a Muslim name. Albert does not sound a Muslim name at all. I think you're a Christian, and you haven't told us about it. Which was true. I hadn't. I was shy. I was not a Christian till that point. And when he said that, he says, thank God. I mean, the witness is more obvious. And another one turned around and just said, you know, you Christians are the worst thing on earth. We do not want to associate with you. I don't want to be a friend with you anymore. And in fact, we'll not talk to you anymore. We will, if you value your life, you should leave the school, because we will make sure that you don't stay here. At that point, I just felt like I just got up and walked away, and didn't say a thing. As time went on, I still was in school, and I just felt very strongly that God was going to use me there. That's the place I should be. Regardless of what was going on, every day we sat together with them. Every day they cussed at me. They said bad things about Jesus. There's something that really hurts me a lot is saying, you know, Jesus is the Son of God. You believe in three gods. What kind of God is that that has sex with other people and has kids, and all this stuff. And what I felt at that time was anger, and I just wanted to grab hold of them. And I believe the Holy Spirit just calmed my spirit down and said, you know, no, this is not the way. They are doing what they understand, and they are saying what they feel. And all you need to do is just ask forgiveness. So in my heart, I every time this happened, I said, God, help me forgive them. Help you, please forgive them. Do not hold this against them, because if they knew any better, they would not be doing this. And this continued for a good three to 6 months, until one day we were sitting, and this one friend of mine just said, you know, Asim, in so many months, you haven't really got angry. You haven't really punched any of our face. Mm-hmm. Whereas when we were into fighting, I would be one of the first people who would go punch someone. Doesn't look for my physique, but that's a different story. And he said, you know, this is very strange. Whatever's happened to you is beyond our understanding. And that's where it got left at. And in my heart, I just said, God, thank you. Because a lot of times, it's not the words that we say, it's the actions and the things we do that carry out and make a bigger impact. In my mind, I was saying, oh, this is sweet. God, this couldn't be easier than this, you know. I mean, I didn't get hit, I didn't get beaten up, it was good. But it was one of the summer months, just before the school holidays would begin. We were in recess. I was by in the field in the ground, just by myself, and I saw about four guys approaching me, and two of them were my friends, and two I didn't know. They just came up and said, "Austin, we know you've been talking about God to people. You've been talking about Jesus. Why? Don't you know this is a Muslim school?" I said, "I know, but do you want to hear some more?" And he said, "You know, we're here to offer you a better life. We are here to offer you the Islamic way of living. We are here to offer you and invite you to the Islam. If today, if you accept Islam and believe in the Prophet, you will live." I just felt the Holy Spirit just well in my heart and say, "I'm sorry, I cannot do that. I made a decision. I'm going to stand by it. I come off from a Christian family, and I love Christ more than anything else." I could see the anger and the frustration and the, yeah, they were getting really annoyed at what I was saying. And soon enough, one of these guys, he just punched me in my stomach, and I kind of got bent over, and he says, now how about, do you want to change your decision?" And I just nodded and I said, "No, I've told you." And then it was just, I felt like a punching bag. I was being beaten up all around. All I could think of, feel was pain. And in that all pain, one thing that just really helped me to bear all that is, I just prayed out, "Lord, if today's the day I'm going to die, I just want to pray, just help me forgive them, and you forgive them for what they're doing. It's not their doing, it's what their religion tells them." And this prayer was just welling up in my heart. And at the same time, I could hear them say, "You know, Jesus is just another prophet. He's nothing. Muhammad is the one who has life and who can give life. And why do you believe? Stop, quit on this, because there's no way you can live as a Christian in this country. And he's not the one you should follow. You should say the kalma, which is their creed, that once you've said that, you're a Muslim." And again, it was, you know, "You're a blasphemer, you're an idolater, and this is the wrath of God or their Allah, that you should be punished, you should be beaten up till death." And at that point, I felt, you know, that's the end of me, but I just think passed out, and I don't remember anything what happened afterwards. After a few hours, I guess, when I woke up, I was curled around a tree in the mud, and I looked around, and I felt so alone, so hurt. I mean, there were people who watched me there. Some were my friends. Nobody helped me, nobody. They all, I guess, agreed that I deserved this. And I just reached out to God and said, "God, you got to help me." And reminded me of Jesus. When he was being hung on the cross, he was all alone. I says, "You're my friend. You got to help. You'll strengthen me." And he did. He did. I don't know how I got up, got myself together, and walked about. It was probably a mile to my home. I walked home. I could walk. That was amazing. Life still continued. I mean, despite everything, I mean, I couldn't go to the management. I couldn't complain to anybody. But I just gave it to God and said, "God, you are God. You know what you're doing. Even if your people go through such experiences, it's for your glory. And your word does say, 'Blessed are the persecuted, for they will see my kingdom.' And as your kingdom is great, your love is immense." And this is something, in God's love is so much. When we go through such things, he gives us so much strength. It's like in the video, I mean, at that point, you do feel pain, you do feel hurt, you do feel being put aside as nobody would love you, but he loves you so much. The Holy Spirit just gives you so much strength. And it's his guidance that keeps us going on and on.
That's wonderful. Now, you have told me in times that we've met that Psalm 23 is a passage that is a daily prayer for Christians in Pakistan.
Yes, ma'am.
Would you like to lead us in praying Psalm 23 for the Christians in Pakistan? And
This is a lot of times when Christians live by this Psalm 23. It's I would just like to say, when you rely on God for justice, for providence, for jobs, for daily sustenance, it's not going to come out of a food pantry. It's not going to come out of, but it's just going to come. Somebody's going to come at your door and give you the food, or he'll just make food fall from heaven. I mean, literally mean that. And to see that, Christians in Pakistan live, pray, breathe Psalm 23. Most of my Christian friends, they would say, let's sit together and pray this psalm. And just to encourage you all, just pray for the Christian church, the persecuted church. Let's just all get together and say this psalm out loud.
Before we pray, I want to say a couple things and invite us to pray, but in a special way. First of all, awesome. Thank you for sharing what you've shared.
Thanks.
If you have an opportunity to take Awesome and his family to lunch to hear more of the story, we drove down to Atlanta a few months ago for a conference, and we just got to hear the stories just be shared, and it'll change you. And that's what many of us need. We unfortunately, as Christians in America, sometimes Christianity is just somewhat the American thing, and we don't know the depth of what many have to face in order to have this kind of faith. And it's just kind of natural. It's just born into our system. And it's, in some ways, it's unfortunate because it's almost like we're inoculated with some kind of Western form of Christianity where we think it's just, oh, yeah, we believe in God. We go to church. We check a box, and that's what it is for us. It's a part of a tradition or a habit. It's not a way of life where we wake up every day wondering and if we're going to make it to the end of the day. Awesome shared with us that many times they would pray in the morning with their children, watch over our children today and let them make it home alive.
Yep.
How many of you have ever had to say that kind of prayer? We just don't know what this is like. And so my hope and my heart is that this would truly change us, that we wouldn't just hear these stories and think, oh, that's too bad, but that we would be moved to do something, that we would be moved to pray.
Pray.
And yeah. So I want to invite those of you who, if some of you would come up and just surround Awesome, let's just lay hands on him. And pray for him and lift him and his family up. And he's got friends who he's seen die for their faith. He's got friends back there in Pakistan who are still dealing with persecution. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for, there is a pastor in Pakistan through Awesome's connection that we're going to be supporting with the money raised through this campaign that we're kicking off, this Love Costs Everything campaign, that finances, of course, can't fix all of this, but we can help. And so we're going to be partnering with a pastor friend of Awesome's and a pastor friend of Daddy El's who shared last week. Actually, that pastor friend's going to join us for our international potluck next week. He'll be able to be here. So if a few of you would come up, let's surround Awesome. Let's just lift him up and pray. And let's pray this prayer together as Awesome leads us. And let's ask that God would change our hearts, lift him up, lift our brothers and sisters in Christ up. Let's partner together and really believe in the power that God has to sustain faith even through persecution such as this. So, Awesome, will you lead us in praying this prayer?
Sure.
And I'll close us.
Father God, we just thank you for this time. Thank you for this privilege. And we just thank you that we all are your testaments. Father, I pray for your faithfulness. And Father, I just want to pray Psalm 23, Father, just together, Lord, as one church, reaching out across the world, into the persecuted church, Father God, and for this country, Father God, that, Father, as your followers, Father, your people, Father, we would live this psalm, Father God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me in the... He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no ill. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen.
Father God, we pray that you would hear our prayers. God, we pray that our hearts would be pierced, that our souls would be yearning, God, for our brothers and sisters who are living such a strong faith for you. And God, we would be inspired to look at our own life and to ask ourselves, God, are we living this kind of life that truly is about giving everything? God, I pray that you would move in our hearts, draw us to a deeper understanding of your love for us, that you would be willing to give everything. And you now call us to partner with you in this journey, that we would in turn give everything from our own lives back to you. God, be with us now as we think upon these things. In your name we pray. Amen. As our worship team gets ready to lead us, I want to invite you to think about the things that we've been talking about today. The first question is, have you come to a point in your own life where you have really understood that Jesus truly gave up everything out of his love for you? Have you opened up your own heart to invite this love of Christ in, to forgive you of your sins and to make you one of his children? Have you done that? If you've not done that, I invite you to take that as your first step today, that you would call out to him and say, Christ, just thank you for this love you've given to me. I accept it fully and I ask you, come into my life. The second question is this: are you living a life that is willing to give everything? Maybe you give financially. After hearing stories like this, I don't know that I give enough. Maybe you give of your life and you share with people in your life. We aren't sharing enough. We need to be able to come to the cross and say, Christ, because of what you did for me, I respond and I am going to live this way for you. My hope is that we would realize that God truly gave everything, and he now invites you and I to partner with him on this mission. Are you all in? My hope is that you would look at yourself honestly where you are and you would say, God, wherever I am now, help me to take that one next step. And maybe some of you are ready to not just take a step, you're ready to dive in fully. If that's you, I want you to voice that to God in prayer. We have prayer teams in the back. I will be up here in the front. Please do not leave today without realizing the call that God is placing on our lives as each of us, as individuals, to make a difference in this world, to be willing to give everything for him. Love costs everything. God, I pray that you move in our hearts. For those that are not received your love, God, that their hearts would be open to receive your love, your forgiveness, and that they would make you their Savior and Lord so they can become a child of yours. God, for those of us who are Christians, who are following you, help us to look at our lives and to say, am I living just a half-hearted, lukewarm American culture form of Christianity or God, am I living the kind of life that you've truly called me to live? Willing to give up everything for you, to understand that everything I have that I've been blessed with, that I've been given with, is yours, God, for me to use to bring you glory. God, show us each in our own way how it is that you want us to live for you. God, draw us closer during this time of response. As you feel like you're ready to make that response, I want to invite each and every one of us to remember that this is all possible because it was first Christ that loved us and gave himself for us. And as he loved us, he gave his body to be broken in our place. And as we take communion here as a gathered community, we remember Christ's death until he comes. So I invite you, as you're ready, to come forward to receive communion, a piece of bread dipped in a cup of juice, remembering the body of Christ broken for you, the blood of Christ shed for you, for me, to pay for our sins. Let us remember that this is all for him. He died for us so that we could live for him. Respond as you feel led.